Welcome to Awakening the Podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Christian Strang. And today, so excited, we have one of my favorite humans here on earth. We met in the most synchronistic way, which I will be sharing with you. But today we have Amani Mamalushan with us, and she is a force and a powerhouse and part of the co-creation of the next golden age. So I am going to dive right into it. We're going to start with her bio. I'm going to share with you more about her, and then we are going to have a very real conversation about awakening and creating the next golden age. So Amani Mamalushan is a passionate truth seeker, visionary mama, and author of The Presence Absence of Soil, which connects the dots on not only how humanity has lost its way, but how to reclaim our sovereignty and raise our children in the most challenging of times. She is the mother of five daughters raised with instincts intact. Her four birth daughters were born at home, unvaccinated, and schooled in her organic cafe living classroom. Hashtag swoon. Amazing. Amani has been instrumental in facilitating some of the most important voices for freedom during the past few years. She recently launched the Haven Earth Network, H-E-N, along with her partner and bioarchitect, Paul River Richardson, which serves as an online platform focused on regenerative solutions, hands-on skill sharing, and connecting others, building out the new timeline to prepare people with the skills and knowledge as they exit the current system. You can get her book at mamalushan.com. Learn more and become a member of the Haven Earth Network at havenearth.net. Welcome, Amani.
Yay. So good to be here with you.
So happy that you're here. Do you mind if I start by sharing how we all met?
Oh, I love it. Great.
It's the best story. So my husband and I went to Brighton Bush for his birthday. So this was in November, and we were just, you know, thoroughly enjoying the hot springs and the space. And we were so excited to have a vegan organic meal. So we go into the dining hall and everyone's face is covered and people are sitting and then they're like getting up and then they're covering their face. And we're like, what is going on? Like, what is happening? And then we see these two people come into the dining hall who also, like us, have their faces free and are not getting up and sitting down and putting the masks on. And we're like, those are our people. And they happen to just sit like not very far from us. And we just all struck up a conversation. But I will tell you, when we saw you and River walk in, I was like, look, it's some of our people are here. And then we just became like fast friends.
Instant recognition.
Instant. Yes. I was like, oh, we know each other, don't we? And we've been connected ever since.
Yeah, that was a magical moment. And it was, you know, that instant recognition, which so many of us during these, this past 2 years have actually found each other. And and of course we have so many connections, we realize after, like, we're in the similar circles, but there's this beauty, that silver lining in the last 2 years where many of us have found each other, you know, even when we thought we might have had our tribes. And I've been talking about reuniting the High Vibe tribe for decades, but there was the next layer to that that revealed itself. And I think these, the truly authentic relationships, which are going to shift us into this new timeline or this new golden age, because we want to go into this with the people that we are intended to be locking hands with. I think that's super important and divinely orchestrated.
1,000,000%. You said it so perfectly. Really, the call to our family of light, which, as you mentioned, may be a community that we had not anticipated, is, and it happens in those magical synchronistic ways, right? You're just living your life and you're being authentic, and then you connect with other souls. And we have so many, you know, both you and River and me and my husband, we have so many similarities. Like, even reading your bio, I'm like, I'm the oldest of five girls, you know, like all of the different ways that we intersect, but that's how it works with the family of light coming together.
Yeah. And I love that. You know, I know you share with your clients as far as this family of light and how we're all finding each other, that it's the being able to say yes and show up, you know. When we talk about divine orchestration, we have to be willing, right? There's so much about willingness and being willing to show up and say yes and not go into that fear. So that's the first step. And when we are that bright light and we are all shining bright, we couldn't not see each other, right?
That's exactly right. And I will say I proudly got through the last 2 years not covering my face once. And when I saw others who had their faces free, there was like this special bond that we really felt in that we are here to shine the light and bring the light in a new way. And so I'm so grateful that that time brought us together and connected us.
Yeah.
And so on our podcast, Awakening the Podcast, we are talking about awakenings at whatever level you wish to share. So I would love to hear more about your awakening story. We know that awakening is not a one-time event. It's not a, oh, I had a spiritual awakening and then it's done. We know, and especially the last 2 years, for me, it's just been one awakening after the next. And I think for many of us, but we'd love to hear any aspect of your awakening that you feel called to share. My intention in this is that we want to inspire as many who are called and listen to this podcast or watch it, that they recognize that awakening can look in many different ways and happens in various, if not all, areas of life. And so we really want to bring that light because this is the time of mass awakening. That is what we're all doing. That is what's happening here on earth. So Amani, I'd love to hear whatever level of awakening you feel called to share with us today.
Right. I love that, Christian. It's like so important for me that you define it, that it doesn't have one way of looking and that there is multiple times where we have that, because, you know, one of the things I've often felt in my life is that I didn't have this like one moment, right? That it was like, that was the moment that I realized whatever. For me, it's always been kind of a continual process. And I would say that my real awakening, I mean, I feel like I've always been aware growing up that I had some kind of awareness. I always felt that there was some, I had some sense of purpose, wasn't clear exactly what that was. And it's revealed itself in many different ways over the years of my life. But where I really had some synthesis of like, kind of where I could put some purpose to my life and being here was when I had my first daughter, you know, becoming a mother. Because I had started my path of like, self-discovery and doing all the self-help work at 19, knowing that I needed to prepare myself for having children, even though I wasn't even necessarily thought I would have children. But there was this, I was working with children and I just had this urge to like really clear out a lot of the issues and trauma that I had had from my childhood before having children. It was just this kind of instinctual knowing. And I had a point, I think 24, where I was like wondering if I could have children. And so kind of opened up that. And when I did get pregnant with my first daughter, there was something that was activated in that, like a deeper knowing within myself, where I started kind of, and I don't channel in any kind of way. I know I have a lot of people in my life that do all kinds of channeling like yourself. I surround myself with those people. What I've been told and what I experienced is I have like a direct plug where information just comes in and I don't necessarily know where it comes from, but it's just like, I get told like, have a midwife. And I'm like, I don't even know what a midwife is. I have to look it up. So it's just like information that comes through. And that definitely got activated at this extreme way when I had children. And so having kind of taking back my power with my birth, with my daughter, because I had a history of sexual abuse. So I had a really empowered last minute decided I'm having this baby at home. And it just like this listening to myself with all the decisions that I made as I was becoming a new mom. So there were significant things. So I would say that that was my big awakening, but of course I have five daughters. And so I've had lots of awakenings since then. It's continuous and still to this day. So they're, you know, I don't say that lightly that they're my greatest teachers, but their being in my life motivates and inspires me to become more of what I came here to do. I mean, it's really the inspiration and motivation for me. So that anything and everything involving being a mother would be my awakening for sure.
I love this so much. And I love that we're having this conversation because when we look at something like motherhood, which gets programmed into the psyche is just like, yep, this is what you do. And you go to the hospital and you do these things. There's such a program around what it means to be a mother. It completely sucked all of the sacred out of what it truly is, which is its own spiritual awakening and path. Like It is so beautiful and such an important reminder of how we can break free of the programming. And that's what I loved about in your book. I was reading Moni's book this week and like texting her like, oh my gosh, I love this. I'm underlining. I'm like, this is gold. This is so good. You know, I love that you bring that into the book around, you know, the sacredness and returning to the sacredness of life, which is, you know, my passion is sacred spirituality and how do we live in a sacred way. But bringing this into the experience as a mother and recognizing that what it really is, this awakening, this spiritual path is so beautiful. And you do such a great job in the book of weaving that through and really. And another thing I want to bring into the space is what I love about you is that you're so passionate and so clear about the awakening that being a mother has given you and the path and the purpose around it. And you're also helping create the golden age and the new earth. And you realize that those are not mutually, like those aren't separate things, that it is all happening together.
Yeah. You know, you mentioned before when we were talking that we've all sort of been visioning this new earth for a while, right? I remember being pregnant with my daughter and having this idea that I need to build community. I mean, like that was what was coming through. And we've all been talking about that. We've been having visions of these communities and how we were going to be connected and activating the grid. And there were going to be lots of them. None of us knew it was going to look like this. I'll say that.
That's right.
We did have this vision and we've been on our own kind of individually in a sense, in talking about it with people, but we weren't able to form it, bring it into manifest form. And now with what's going on in the world, the impetus is there to actually start building it, right? And it wasn't time. We were having the visions and we were dreaming it into existence. And I love that you brought up, you know, as far as the sacredness of mothering, because so much of mothering, especially with the program around the feminist movement, it has taken the sacred out of mothering. And that's one of the things that I address in my book is like really returning to that, because I really, at that point, I mean, I had a minor in feminist studies and was, you know, feminist and have had part of my awakening in the last couple of years, even more so connecting the dots of how that was all a programmed for our generation in particular. So I think it's really important to dismantle and unravel those programmings, because one of those was taking the sacredness out of mothering, that mothering somehow wasn't a feminist act. And it's the most feminist thing in a sense that we can do, because we're talking about birthing, right? And birthing energy, which is creation energy, and we're birthing the new world, you know? So I love how you bring that back around. And I think there's so much in that, whether we birth children ourselves, or we take in that energy of birth and creation to really consciously create this new world. Because we don't want to recreate more of what we don't want. And I think that's the conscious conception piece is really significant.
Okay, we gotta pull up here. I minored in women's studies and you minored in feminine studies. I love it. And my mind was blown. It was a huge awakening when I found out that Gloria Steinem was hired by the CIA and that this whole movement was orchestrated for the purpose of disconnecting us from our feminine, from the divine feminine, which is the creation.
And that's the moron, right? I mean, like who, yeah.
And it worked. I mean, the thing is the psychological operations are brilliant, because you manipulate someone's psychology, you manipulate how they function on earth, right? And the key point is division. The key point is division, like, oh, we're burning our bras and we're not going to take it anymore. What do? We go into division against our own selves, because we are both masculine and feminine in form. You know, it's now to see it, right? In hindsight, talk about the...
Oh, and it's magnified right now. I mean, you can't get more obvious controlled opposition and programs. It's so blatant, right? With the new propaganda that they're rolling out around the campaigns that we all see in the media everywhere.
Yes. Yes. And so important for us to take that source perspective and really be able to see it, right? Because once you can see it, it's so obvious. Yeah. You know, I've said this and I'll say it again. If it is in the mainstream, do not buy it. Just don't buy it, because they need you to buy it to exist. So like, if we just all stopped buying it and said, oh, overturn whatever you want, create what you like. I don't care. You have no authority over this.
Exactly. Right?
And we just
and we are sovereign. Right.
Exactly. So, and that's really the call. And so you're leading us perfectly into this, creating the new earth, creating the new paradigm, creating the next golden age. What are some of the ways that you've been inspired to do this? Obviously bringing your daughters onto the earth, creating community. Yeah.
Well, you know, one of the things, Christian, is that I actually, as I was mothering, and I did a very hands-on mothering, right? My girls were born at home and then I homeschooled them. So they were with me all the time, but I always had this sense of having not another life, but that I needed to be operating in another world simultaneously, not just immersed and lost in that realm of motherhood. Right. And often I would say, there's many different archetypes around that, but like this giving, I feel like I'm very generous in giving as a mother, but I also do have some hard lines and structure, a lot of infrastructure. And that I wanted to be an entrepreneur and run businesses while I was raising my children. So I found ways creatively to do that. Was it chaos and insane sometimes? Absolutely. But like, I look back and like, what? I don't even know how I survived that. But I had that program, right? To be like the woman who could do everything, right? Fried up in a pan or what? Like, I was like, super mom, super woman. So that kind of got me caught up too, because then you overextend yourself. However, I wasn't resigned to just being a mom. And I'm not saying that in a way of just being a mom, but like I needed to have this other world. And so I exposed my children to this kind of entrepreneurial world, which was for me about building out the new earth. Like, so it was like, you know, having an organic cafe where we were showing free films and documentaries every week and teaching people how to grow sprouts and teaching yoga, you know, with my baby on my hip. Like I had to do both. To show them that I could do both, that I wasn't sitting back. But if I look back in retrospect, all of the things that I was trying to do were efforts to build out this new earth, like new economy, you know, looking at bartering, looking at co-ops. We had a co-op, we had a cooperative homeschool. Like I was just trying to figure out these ways that we would be able to build out this community, which was great because none of it worked because it wasn't the time. But we learned a lot, right? You learn a lot in your mistakes and finding out what doesn't work so that when the time is ripe, which is now, we're at that point of harvest of taking everything that we've learned so that we can apply it. So the way that I'm building out this new golden age and this new earth right now is really hands-on. And it's actually what I've always visioned, but didn't have the faculties, whether because it was, you know, what my marriage and the relationship I was in, it was where I was in New England. It wasn't, thank goodness I didn't build a farm then because I wouldn't want to be there right now. I was like, thank you, universe, for not getting me attached to one spot that I couldn't leave because I've been nomadic and I have that ability to just pick up and leave, which is really hard for people when you get attached, right? And you have a lot of stuff or like you've created this dream place. And now we know we need to be able to move. We need that flexibility because it might not have been the place that it might not be the place we want to be. So now that we've identified that and looked at kind of the strategic relocation, we're building out through Haven Earth and my recent kind of partnership with River, because we met during this last year and a half. Of course, I met a eco architect that builds with hemp. It's like, thank you. So it's like that person that can actually build stuff because I've wanted to build stuff. I always was homeschooling my girls with this idea of life skills curriculum. And now homeschooling's exploded and everybody's talking about life skills and learning like Steiner, what you learn from life, like common sense. And now it's all of a sudden being accepted where we kind of forgot about it for like 100 years, you know? So having a place like actually these models, physical models, as people return to the land, as people remember that we need to go back to the land growing food and all of these things that we're talking about, we're working on these physical locations. And with the people that we've been training to do building with hemp through Haven Earth, these locations have emerged where people, land stewards have land, and we can actually start building out not just the hemp houses, but some of the food security measures and the homesteading things that we're talking about. So yeah, we're doing it really hands-on. And I think that what Haven Earth is serving is not just to educate and empower, which has always been my two taglines with everything I've done, but to be a bridge to connect the people that have the land and the people that are looking to return to the land, and then giving those resources through the platform where people can teach each other. Not that we have all the answers. We're just facilitating this the connections and giving people access to information and opportunities to even be hands-on to learn it in that way, if they can, you know, make that happen and get to the places where we are.
So amazing. I mean, you've really been a pioneer in creating the
Hempeneer.
Hempeneer. Yes. Love it. But your work with you said some really important things here I want to highlight, because, you know, you talked about your early work with the co-op and trying all these different things and like, how do we create this community, and we're homeschooling and teaching life skills, and things not working out are actually things working out, because if you had got attached to a land there, you wouldn't have been able to do what you're now doing. Are we able to talk about your location? Not specifically, but
yeah.
The state that you're in, right? So you're in a totally different state, which is actually where the freedom movement and sovereign beings are just like going to in like huge quantities. So I wanted to highlight this point because I think it's really important for the folks that are listening that, you know, you have these ideas. Okay, we know we're on the leading edge, right? You knew that you were on the right track, but it wasn't manifesting in the way that you thought it would. But that those things not working out are really things working out, because look where you're at now.
True. You know, that timeline, I always feel like, I was telling River yesterday, like, I'm just always ahead. And he's, you know, it's not that I need to be first, because it's just like, I'm always in that ahead thing. And it sometimes it's frustrating, right? Because there's years where you feel lonely and you're like, feeling like, why am I doing this? But yes, if I look back, I mean, it was all completely on purpose and needed to happen in the way that it did. And I definitely feel that. And it every situation leads to the next situation, right? So as long as we keep saying yes, that's kind of my thing. As long as I keep showing up and saying yes and really listening to what the universe is saying to me. So taking time to tune in and not trying to force things in the way that I want them to be or think they should be, but really staying open. Like when I opened my juice bar, I got a message to start a juice bar, and I never had a juice in my life. Like, I don't even know. Like, I get these random messages sometimes, like, okay, you need to do this. And it's not that it always works out, but there's something in doing that that leads me to the next place. And so I think that that really is an important part of the process. I do think it's speeding up.
Yes.
And right now, like where we are, like, I mean, literally things are happening every single day. And so it can be overwhelming to actually keep saying yes so much. Yes, yes, you know, but when you are aligned in that frequency, what I know is what comes into my field is exactly what I need. So I don't waste time with things that are not, you know. And I remember a period of time where I wasn't clear, like, because there were so many things, and discernment was like, I don't know, a lesson for like 10 years.
Right? Seriously. Oh my goodness.
Discernment. So it's like, I think I'm moving out of discernment, and now I'm teaching others like discernment. Just because something comes into your field, it might not be the right thing. You need to be able to know. So that was a big lesson. But now it's at the point where pretty much nothing comes into my field unless it's somehow connected to something else. And I just have to be able to receive that and stay open to what that might be without attachments or expectations. That's a really big piece of it.
It's a huge piece. It is a huge piece to receive the guidance. Discern, is this, you know, the highest, I would say, is this of the highest light for me? Because I had to learn that as well. I'm just like, oh, okay, yeah, whatever. And then you learn through the process of living, like, oh, I need to be more discerning about what I let come in. Yes, absolutely. So you get that clarity, and then you take the action. That's so important. You're talking about that. It's so important. I want to highlight that. You take the action. You're not just consuming content. You're not just listening to this podcast and then listening to another one. You're listening to this podcast and you're taking action. And then you detach from outcome. May this, however this is meant to work out, that will serve the highest good of all, myself included, may it be so. When you do that, you energetically clean the space so that whatever is meant to unfold, and by meant to, I mean, whatever will serve your highest good and the greater, thus the greater good of all, can take place. Those are such, I'm so happy you brought that in and are breaking that down.
Yeah. It's the only way it can work, you know,
the only way.
And we all learn it the hard way if we don't learn it the easy way. So, but yeah, I think I love that you stressed action because, you know, I'm really about action and I don't know if I'm sure you have because you work with so many people, Christian, but like, you know, I'm a disruptor in general. So I will give people information or disrupt like maybe a thought that they had or a way of doing things, right? A lot of the programs essentially. So disrupting it and there's a openness to that disruption, but then when you're actually holding people accountable to take action on that is where it can get a little trickier because if people, you can have all kinds of information, but to actually do that next step of taking action is really where things change, right?
1,000,000%. I was just having this conversation in my apprenticeship because, you know, I work with folks who are healers, creatives, artists. So they're getting downloads all the time. But if you don't bring those downloads into form, it means nothing. We're on the physical plane. We have to actualize through the body temple. That is the most important thing. So I have a real, do we call it pet peeve? Maybe of like, you know, yeah. Folks that are like, oh, and I talked to so-and-so and I got this download and but they're sitting in their home and they're not creating the new earth. They're thinking about it. They're talking about it, but they're not doing it. And that is the gap.
That's a pet peeve for me too.
Yeah. That is the gap. You have to bring it into form. Yeah. So it's not enough to just attend the summits and listen to the podcast. You have to take the information. And that's what I love about you and River. That's what I love about, you know, my path is that we bring it into form. I'm not
probably
here.
Probably why we get along so well, because, you know, we see that reflection in taking action and getting things done, not just saying it and not doing it. And I think that it can bring up a lot of stuff for people and be kind of threatening if you're not taking action because people are like, wow, I can't keep up with you. Like you said, you're doing this and now this is done and now you're on to this. Like what happened to this? And it's such a fast pace that it can be overwhelming. And I would say like, do it at your own pace, but definitely just do something. Like even if you can't do everything that you're doing, just start taking some steps towards that are from a place of action.
Absolutely. So what would you say are some of the steps that you encourage folks to start taking, something they can start to do today even to make this actionable?
Well, you know, I think a lot of it right now, a big topic on the horizon is around food security. And so it's figuring out, even if people aren't in a place maybe where they see themselves being or they can't get out of, being able to participate in some kind of food productivity, whether it's participating in a local, you know, I know people are taking a lot of courses, hands-on courses, not the online, like getting their hands in the dirt. So learning some kind of skill, permaculture skill, growing food, even if you mastered one thing, is like growing the best tomatoes. I mean, you don't have to grow everything, but if you were just like learning how to grow tomatoes, let's just say that that's your thing, like that you can break it down into simple steps, right? We always talk about, you know, this with everything else that we're doing. I would say apply it to something that's going to be a tangible skill that's going to be of value in this future timeline, which is around these kind of permaculture regenerative solutions. So it's not just reading the books, but like getting out there. And I'm thrilled to hear so many people in our community like that are, you know, just saying, oh, I'm volunteering at this garden or I'm planting this. Even if your garden doesn't produce what you want, just going through that process and doing it, I think is really important right now. Like go find a goat farm and learn how to milk goats or, you know, go to a cheese making class or learn how to bake bread or whatever it is. And I'm sure people have a lot of those skills. And if they do, then maybe they could even start sharing those with others. Like, you know, one of the things that I'm recording, because I'm learning a lot of these things myself. I'm really passionate about this survival gardening and homesteading right now. So I'm going to farms and recording these things and putting them up on the Hen platform so that people can see it, you know, like, so I'm going to local farms and there's a lot, we're in Texas. So there are definitely a lot of people homesteading right now. And one of the things I've learned is that homesteading is not something you do by yourself. This is not like the Lone Ranger thing or like the single family. everything about it is about coming together with others, because the people that are trying to do it by themselves are overwhelmed, exhausted, and basically begging people to live on the land to just help them milk the goats or whatever it is that they're doing, right? You can only sustain that for so long. And so that's not a truly regenerative model. The model really leans towards us being able to be in more of a village kind of model. I'm shying away from the community work because it's way overused and people have a lot of PTSD around it. Intentional community, gated community, exclusive community. We're talking about like just a healthy kind of village town model where you don't all have to think the same way. You don't have to eat the same way. You don't have to like meet for breakfast every day or homeschool the same way or whatever, make fill in the blank. It's like you would live in a town, just like they do in Europe. Like we kind of live in the same region. There's some central places where we gather. People do it on their own time, but we share resources. We share equipment. We share in the food growing and all the child rearing, like a healthy, vibrant kind of village model. So that's really what I'm working on, those equations and getting people to not just like return to the land or act out of a reaction place and buy a piece of land, not having any guidance. It's just from a place of panic, really responding, not reacting. So how are you responding to things? Maybe participate in like some kind of homeschool cooperative. Even if you're older and your children are grown, there's the skills. Like there are so many people going to homeschooling right now, and teachers even that are exiting the governmental schools, and these micropods that are coming up and these other learning opportunities. And there's so many skills that older people have. I mean, I've said this always in homeschooling, the best case scenario is to learn from people that aren't your own age. My daughter, I was talking to the other day, and you know, she's like, "Mom, it's so weird. I realize I don't have many friends my age, and that people think I'm so much older because like I relate to, you know, so many older people." I'm like, "Well, you relate to older and younger because you were never put in a classroom environment with just kids your own age." She's like, "I know. It's like you're like dumbed down. Everybody your own age is stupid because you only know what those people know." Like, so we need those intergenerational learning, you know, and also inter skills. Like, so looking at what skills you have, what can you share and what can you learn?
Okay. So for those listening, please rewind and re-listen to everything that Imani just said, answering that question, because there was so much gold there. Participate being the biggest one. Participate and create it into form. So I love you talked about the food security. You know, we've been working on this since 2020. We've been in the process here on our micro farm and on our homestead of finding what are the foods that we can grow really well in the different climates and that just respond well to us, right? Mm-hmm. And then just growing those. You said that was so important. You said, even if it's one thing that you can grow well, grow it. You can do a container of microgreens, you know, on your countertop and just start being the best microgreens grower there is. Because then when you go to the farmer's market and we come into that village model, then we can all trade all the different things that we grow really well. So what Imani's speaking of is really setting us up for this village model that I believe I was told in 2016 that that's spiritually a meditation. I was told that we're all returning to our local communities. We're returning to the land. We're breaking free of this sort of globalist, agenda that really is harming the human. So I love that you brought that in. You know, you talked about baking bread, milk goats, whatever it is that lights you up, that you do well at, do that, participate in it, go deep with it, and then do it in community. I think that's so important because homesteading is completely overwhelming to do on your own. You need support to do this. Is there any specific like village model that you would recommend for folks or invite folks to check out more?
We're building it.
Tell us more.
To participate in it. I mean, we're all learning together, right? We're all remembering things and everybody has their own unique part to play in that. So that's really the idea behind HEN, the Haven Earth Network, which is a platform. And there's a lot of platforms out there. So it's our version of getting people off of Facebook and YouTube and putting all of our content in one place. So we're just, you know, put up our hemp building course and there'll be others. Hopefully you'll put up a course and people will be posting what they're doing and learning from each other. And it doesn't move as fast. It's not as sexy. We talked about this kind of, it's based on, you know, a platform that people have been using to connect with people over the last couple of years through the Freedom Cells. So we know it works. It's just like what you're saying, you have to participate in it. So it's just getting on there, creating a profile, joining groups and sharing and connecting with the people that you relate with, whether it's around where the land is or the skills or the knowledge that you want to learn or the knowledge you want to share, and then taking courses. So it's really just a bridge. It's not like another platform to go and get like your adrenaline fixed from all the massive postings. And we're really putting only content up related to regenerative solutions and getting people to return to the land. Yeah. So it's limited to that, but that's very expansive. And so I think, and that we're a private membership association. So that's our PMA. So people become a member when they join the platform. It's an $11 one-time fee, but that's how we define our membership. And the other thing I wanted to say, Christian, about discernment was about people too. Just opening everything, our communities up to everyone, right? So we just wanted to create some kind of vetting process for people to go through so that we can really help, because there are a lot of people on, well, we know that there's a lot of people infiltrating, but there's a lot of people on that are in this kind of just this, what you call it, that just observing mode and not participating, just taking information. And we really do want to encourage the participation because it's really about building relationships right now. And the only way you can do that is by participating. And we've had to do it virtually online and through Zooms like this. It's great. It's great that we got to see each other in person and meet in that way. And we'll see each other again, but we can sustain that through these online technological things, but we've got to decentralize them and make them our own, right? Where we're not having our information being used in different ways that we didn't know we were signing up for, but now we do, and we don't know how to get out of it. So we got to like unravel ourselves from that web. So there's a lot there, but I would say that that's the main thing for us, is that platform that we just launched is to serve as that kind of way to connect to everyone.
I love it. And yeah, we were talking about offline that, you know, folks are so programmed to the addictive cycles of Facebook and Instagram and YouTube and it's hijacking your dopamine. So if you go onto a platform where that's not happening, you're like, oh, this is boring. Like nothing's happening here, right? But what's actually true is that there are no invasive energies attaching to your field and siphoning energy from you. So we really are having to learn like how to do digital platforms in a healthy way, right? And so the platform that you and River have created is an option to do that, to learn how to be on a digital platform that's not sucking your energy and isn't designed with nefarious purposes. So we're all learning how to recalibrate, how to do, you know, community. People are so traumatized, but they've created that, so that's why, you know, I'm so passionate about metaphysical psychology, because we got to get into and heal the psychology of each individual, which means untangling from all those programs and energies that have been taken from them. And we have to learn how to do community or village in a way that's healthy and supportive. We've got to learn how to do digital community in a way that's healthy and supportive. And I'm just so grateful that you're here on the earth and a part of that new creation, the regenerative model of how we can do digital, how we can do in person, how we can create in this world. So thank you so much, Imani, for being here on earth and incarnated at this time and with me. I'm so grateful we came together again. And thank you for your amazing, amazing work in the world. It's just so incredible what you and River are creating, and this return that we're here for. You talked about many times, you mentioned remembering, and we have returned to remember. So thank you for being part of the remembering.
Thank you for having me. This was beautiful. I want to share it on our platform, and because I think so much of what you're doing to help people unplug and detach is really relevant to the bigger picture. So, so grateful for you being here too, and the invitation to join you.
Thank you, sister. Everyone, please get Imani's book. You can get it at momolution.com. Anyone who's a mother, whether you currently have biological children or you are mothering in a variety of different ways, you need this book. She really brings so many pieces together. It's so beautiful. I couldn't put it down. Like I said, I've got underlining here. It was so amazing. So The Presence, Absence of Soil at momolution.com. Make sure you get a copy of this. It's just one of those books you should just have. as a mama. You know, you just should have it. So do be sure to get that. Thank you so much to all of you that were listening. If this content was of benefit to you, please consider making a donation or giving a gift at sacred-spirituality.org. Click on the podcast and let us know that you want to see more of this high vibrational content in the universe. Thank you so much for listening. Again, this has been Awakening the Podcast, and I am your host, Dr. Christian Strang.